You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. This year marks the 10-year anniversary of a legal case that challenged free speech and expression. The Ann Arbor Film Festival was accused of showing pornographic films at its event. The Michigan legislature withdrew funds that were to be awarded by the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs. The Ann Arbor Film Festival, with the aid of the ACLU and the National Coalition Against Censorship, sued in federal court. Kristen Leon lived that experience. In 2007, she was the director of the Ann Arbor Film Festival, and she joins us now. Let's start with the obvious question. What were you showing at the film festival that the legislators thought was pornographic?
Sure. There were 24 films named in this case that were called pornographic, and some of them were a bit provocative, I will say, but some of them were not at all. One was an Academy Award nominated or winning film animation called Booby Girl that was made for teenagers. That was like a lesson of, you know, careful what you wish for. One film that was called pornographic was, you know, excuse my language for a second, but it's not what it sounds like. The film was called America's Biggest Dick, and it was a satire on Dick Cheney in a political film, and they called that pornographic.
Yeah, context is important.
Yes, exactly. And it was very clear to us when the films were named that they were not watched. The legislators went by titles and synopses, and from that point, you know, had an agenda and called them pornographic. But when I started looking at the actual films listed, and I had to watch a lot of them because these were all films previous from when I was director, and I watched them and we were thinking, okay, this is clearly something else. What's really going on here?
So where did the legislators get the idea that the Ann Arbor Film Festival was showing pornographic films? I mean, where'd that come from?
Where did it come from? Right. It was a report by the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and they had an essay written about not calling them pornography, but saying it was an essay more about should the arts be public funded. And they were trying to make a case that the arts should not be public funded. And their reasons were these films, like saying, you know, is this the kind of content that we want our government to support? And then it was kind of a cue for the legislators. One of them were trying to get elected. They actually weren't in the Senate yet. That essay was the kind of seed that planted their idea. And just by reading about these films and some of them, you know, in their provocative nature, used the word pornography and, you know, sent out a press release saying, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to let the state fund pornography.
I want to clear something up. You're not saying that the Mackinac Center didn't call it pornography, but the legislators jumped to that.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. So how did you find out the grant money was being withheld?
Well, immediately I got a call from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs the day the press release went out saying, heads up, we have an issue here and we've never seen anything like this before. I don't know how, you know, to what scale this is going to go, but this is happening. And all of a sudden it escalated within, you know, very quickly that the MCACA was under fire, and then they revoked funding, not only past funding, but the grant that we were scheduled to receive that year. So it was like multiple years of funding that were just suddenly revoked from a budget that was pretty tight, you know, and it happened just months before our film festival was underway. So it was a bit of a dilemma in terms of stabilizing the organization and making the next film festival happen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you and the organizers of the film festival managed to keep it going?
Yeah, it was touch and go for a minute. There were even conversations, I have to say, before we reached out to the ACLU and it became this whole, you know, campaign and First Amendment issue, there were conversations about, you know, is this going to shut down the Ann Arbor Film Festival? Because it was that quick and unexpected of a hit. And we had to, you know, raise money and just respond as fast as possible while still planning the festival to respond. And we did stay afloat, and there were individuals, you know, in terms of the like immediate that were there to help us keep the doors open. But we ended up creating a pretty organized campaign, and it was fun too. It was called the Endangered Campaign because all of a sudden the Ann Arbor Film Festival was an endangered species, as we were saying. And we raised $80,000 in 3 months from the local community, which was incredible. Like the community really got together and galvanized and helped stabilize the festival. It was beautiful.
What was the basic argument in the lawsuit?
So the lawsuit, we didn't sue for the money, and we could have, but we didn't want to make it about that. The reason that the legislators were able to even revoke the money and have the power to do that were because of these guidelines that used to be in the application for anybody who wanted funding from the MCACA. And those guidelines were unconstitutional, and that's what the lawsuit was about. So it used to be that if you applied for arts funding, you could not have they had three guidelines for content. You couldn't show human feces on religious symbols. You could not show a desecration of the American flag and no sexual acts of any kind. And those three guidelines violate the First Amendment. The state cannot tell you what you can and can't do in regards to funding and money and everything. So that's where the ACLU came in. I met with the National Coalition Against Censorship, and they introduced me to the ACLU of Michigan. And that was the explanation, is the only reason that this could happen were these guidelines, and these guidelines are unconstitutional. And what was nice was that there was precedence on both state levels and national levels that of other, you know, state governments trying to censor content and control what sort of content receives support. And those, when challenged, they were removed. So that was, you know, a good sign for our lawsuit that it would be successful.
So how was the lawsuit finally settled?
It was settled in about a year and a half after we filed suit out of court. You know, we created quite a campaign for that year and a half, and it became international news, and we had incredible support from the press, celebrities, like all kinds of people getting our back. And finally, one day, the state decided to remove the guidelines altogether. And it was very quick. It was very quiet. You know, I just got a phone call one day saying, okay, we won. They don't want this to go to court. This is actually, you know, a year and a half for this kind of lawsuit's pretty fast. And, you know, you did a good job bringing attention to the situation. And just very quietly, the next year, the guidelines were gone.
How did that experience of fighting for free speech, how'd that affect your life?
It affected it in a big way because I would say before it fell on my lap, you know, I was a new director when this came into play. I had only had the job for about 4 months. And before that, I wasn't much of a political person, you know, like I cared, but my work was more in terms of the entertainment industry and the arts. And it affected my life deeply because I realized planting the seed of like what one person can do, you know, when you organize a community. And then when you look at the entire community of Ann Arbor and beyond and how much of a ripple effect we made, it really was, you know, inspiring to me to see when you organize, when you do your diligence, when you partner with organizations like ACLU, National Coalition Against Censorship, when you have a clear message and a clear vision of who you are, whether it was me as an individual or who the Ann Arbor Film Festival is in terms of the identity that the festival holds so strongly to. It was very inspiring, and it was challenging in that it required a lot of time and energy, not just for me. I mean, I was giving my life over 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to this, not only dealing with the lawsuit, but making sure the festival was going to be on healthy ground even after my tenure. But it was really incredible to see a community rise. You know, we felt like it was a bit of a David and Goliath situation when you're dealing with like government censorship. It's big and it's overwhelming. And it was very, you know, there were attempts to intimidate me, like individuals calling me saying, don't get involved. Like, you're in over your head. You're too young to deal with this. Like, walk away. And to fight back and stand and say, no, this is the man coming in. And this is a really respected film festival, not just locally, all around the world. And you have to stand and take leadership, whether as an individual or a community, you have to take leadership when this happens and realize that you do have power. And with some organizing and good communication, you can fight back.
I see that you're talking about that lawsuit, censorship and free speech in general, along with filmmaker and author Dream Hampton tomorrow at the University of Michigan. What should people expect to hear from you two?
Yeah, not only is it me and Dream, it's also Mike Steinberg, the legal director of the ACLU of Michigan, who will be joining us. And I'd say like the first part of it, we're going to talk about this lawsuit and unpack what happened. You know, I'm going to explain some of the grassroots organizing that we did. There were some really good lessons there in terms of strategy and tactics and how to fight back on censorship and intimidation and these kinds of things. And Mike Steinberg is going to, from ACLU, he'll be talking about the legal process that we had to go through. And we brought in Dream Hampton because she's a very well-known activist and storyteller and writer, and brings a very global contemporary perspective to this whole case. And so it's not just about the past. We want to talk about the present and learn more about what the ACLU is dealing with on a local and national level, you know, in terms of the, all aspects of the First Amendment, not just arts censorship, but all aspects of the First Amendment and where it's at in this day and age, and talk about how this lawsuit and this story and some of our tactics is really relevant to some of the issues happening today in our changing political tides that we're all witnessing.
That event, Ann Arbor Film Festival versus the State of Michigan 10 years later, is being held at the North Quad Space 2435, and it will be held at 11:30 on Saturday. Kristen Lien, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. I'd be interested in the event, too. Thank you.